The scripture reading this evening is taken from 1 John chapter 5, the first 12 verses, the first 13 verses on page 1304. And then I'm also going to read John 17, 20 to 26, and that's on 1150. 1 John chapter 5, the first 13 verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And then in John 17, we read, Jesus is praying, I do not ask for these only, that is only the 12, only his disciples. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the scripture reading for the understanding of the Trinity. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 8, asks, how are the articles of the Apostles' Creed divided? Into three parts. The first concerns God the Father in our creation. The second, God the Son in our redemption. And the third, God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. Since there is only one divine being, why do you speak of three? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because God has thus revealed himself in his word, that these three distinct persons are the one true eternal God. Before we open these wonderful truths of God, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father, we pray, as we look at this mystery of the Trinity, One God, three persons. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-essential. O Lord in heaven, it is a mystery, but nevertheless it is revealed as the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, equal with the Father and the Spirit, and that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one only true and eternal God, whom to know is life eternal. Bless us now, O Lord, as we look at all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, in the early days of the history of redemption, in the early days of God's dealing with people, God revealed himself mainly as one, because he did not want people confused by teaching them the Trinity at the very beginning. So, like in Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That was the dominant truth in the Old Testament, although there were hints that the one God, in the one true and eternal God, there was a plurality. For example, in Genesis 1, verse 26, we read these words. "And God said, let us make man after our image." That's a plural. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So there's a clue. Actually, in the very first verse of the Bible, you have a clue as to the plurality of God. In the beginning, God. Now that in the original is Bereshi Bara Elohim. Elohim is the plural of El. El is the name God. Like El Shaddai. The word El, E-L, is the singular. But that's not what you find in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, that is Elohim, that is more than one. So there's a hint, although it's not clearly laid out in the Old Testament. It's much clearer in the New. Although in the Old Testament there are hints of it, Psalm 33, verse 6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." That's the Son. The Son of God. "And by the breath of his mouth were the host of them." The breath of his mouth is the Holy Spirit. The Word is the Son and the Word of God. There you have again Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But again, it is not clear in the Old Testament. It's much clearer in the New. For example, in the New Testament, you have the angel of the Lord coming to Mary and saying, "Hail, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall conceive in your womb a child, a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great among the people." And she said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And then the angel Gabriel explains to her what's going to happen. And there you have a beautiful teaching of the Trinity. The power of the Most High will come upon you. And the Spirit of God will overshadow you. So that the holy thing that is born of you shall be called the Son of God. There you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking to Mary. And then in the baptism of Jesus, it's very clear. Jesus was baptized. You remember that, boys and girls, when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. God spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the Father. And then You had the Son who was baptized, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and then out of the air comes a dove, and the dove descends and lands on Jesus' head, and that dove is the Holy Spirit. So there you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there again. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, baptizing them into the name, not names, but into the name, one name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always to the end of the world. So there again you have a beautiful teaching of the Trinity, one name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, he gives the benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There you have again the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now the big controversy in the early church after persecution, the big controversy was concerning the person of Jesus Christ. There were those who taught that Jesus was a great creature, but not God. Arius, one of the proponents of that view, said there was a time when he was not. Athanasius, who defended the orthodox biblical teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and his deity, said, Father always, Son always, Holy Spirit always. There was never a time when he was not. And so the church came together in the first, one of the first ecumenical conferences after Acts 15. They came together in the city of Nicaea. They had to deal with this issue. Who is Jesus Christ? And so the leaders of the church of that day, representing all of the Christians that were known, came together to discuss the place of Jesus Christ. And they wrote a confession called the Nicene Creed. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who is God of God, of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and our salvation was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. That stands as a conclusive and beautiful testimony of the church concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. That is a very fundamental and important doctrine that you and I confess together with all Christendom. We confess the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is the true and eternal God. The Old Testament testifies to that too in the call to worship that I had tonight. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. There it is again, the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is true and eternal God. That's a wonderful truth. Now there are means by which this is taught. Teachers in the Christian school use illustrations. One of them is water. water. Water is liquid. That's 100% water, H2O. But there also is steam. And steam is water too. That's H2O. And then there's solid ice, and that's water also. They're not three different waters. It's all water. It's all H2O. But there are three forms of that water. Ice, liquid, and steam. Three and one. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect illustration. But it helps us to understand how something can be three and yet one. One water and yet in three different forms. And of course that is, we can't say that about God really. It's too great, too vast for us. God is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is what we must confess, that there is no other God but the one who has revealed himself to us. Now the question is, what is the relationship of Jesus Christ to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? There might be some who say, yeah, Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, but he is different than the Father, and he's different from the Spirit. He has a different function, that's true enough. But they say he is next to the Father, he has really not much to do with the Father. And it comes to expression in the discussion of creation. There are those who say, you know, that the doctrine of creation has really nothing to do with your salvation. The truth of creation, it doesn't really matter if you hold to creation or evolution. It really is a non-essential regarding your salvation. Now that's wrong, that's false. It has everything to do with our salvation. Because the only way we know the Father and creation is by the Son. The Son of God was the Creator too. You remember how it is stated in John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same with it was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so the creation of heaven and earth and all things visible and invisible were made by the Son and the Father and the Spirit. The Spirit was involved with creation too. You recall how you read in Genesis 1 verse 2, and the earth was waste and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God brooded over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there, impregnating that which God had created with life. So that when God spoke, let the waters swarm with fish, it happened because the Spirit was there. Psalm 104 says, Thy Spirit, O God, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. In the Nicene Creed, it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. All of life is created by the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one only true God, lives and reigns forever. He has revealed himself as the one true and eternal God in three distinct persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal. They have the same attributes. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Holy Spirit is eternal. Yet not three eternals, but one eternal. And so God has revealed himself as one true God in three divine persons. This is the doctrine of the Trinity. It's very, very important. important. Now, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, yes, he is related to the Father. He is related to creation. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator, but so is the Spirit. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all the creator. That's a wonderful truth. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is related also to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. The Holy Spirit was sent by the Father in my name, says Jesus. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came forth from the Father and the Son, and he filled the church. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ as well. So Jesus is the one who unifies, shall we say, the Trinity. The Trinity is unified in essence. We call it the ontological Trinity. The Trinity of being. God is one being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's a wonderful truth. It's a very important truth. And if there are those who would separate the teaching, the doctrine of the Trinity from the Son of God, they can get into all kinds of difficulties with misunderstanding the Trinity, with misunderstanding the Holy Spirit. In John 14 and John 16, Jesus says the Spirit does not speak of himself, but only what he hears and what I've told him, he tells you. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son and instructs us. When Jesus said, I'm with you always to the end of the world, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's with us. He's the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, and he's the Spirit. Jesus testifies of himself, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but the Son. And so we see the triune God beautifully displayed in the Scripture. Now the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are also united. The work of God in salvation, for example. The Father planned it. The Father thought it. Remember how the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, as he chose us in him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Jesus Christ is the one through whom the Father, by whom the Father elected us. He elected us in the Son. He united us to his Son, and he elected us in Christ. So the Father thought it. It was his plan. Romans 8 lays this out so beautifully. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And whom he predestined, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. It's all the Father's work of planning salvation. He thought it out. When? Before the foundation of the world. He chose us in him. He chose us in Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. That election is a marvelous doctrine. We speak about election. Election is very common in our country. But it is really a completely different thing when you think of God's election of us. When we elect someone to Congress or to presidency, they say to us, elect me because I'll do a good job for you. Is that how we're elected? Do we say to the Lord, oh, choose me because I'm a good person? No, that's not the way it goes at all. For all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. It's not because we deserved it. We are dead in trespasses and sins. He chose us out of complete, sheer grace and grace alone. We do not deserve it. We love to sing this song, 'Tis not that I did choose thee. For Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee hadst thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live for thee. It's all of grace. It's all of God. Yes, another song says, I sought the Lord, but afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true, no, I was found of thee. It is all of grace. By grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in. So it's all of grace. God planned it. But Jesus bought it. He bought salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus gave his life for us. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we at last may go to heaven, bought by his precious blood. He paid the price of sin. He paid it with his own blood upon the cross. He paid the price. The Father thought it. The Son bought it. Completely. As we confess in that beautiful first Lord's Day of the Catechism, I am not my own, but I was purchased. I was saved, I was bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He delivers me from the tyranny of the devil. It is all of grace. Do you know that? Have you experienced that grace in your life? Do you know absolutely and surely that the blood of Jesus covers you and that you may have the assurance of eternal life through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross? The Father thought it, the Son bought it. Completely. We cannot add one thing to it. It's all of grace and grace alone. Now the Holy Spirit brought it. The Father thought it, the Son bought it, and the Holy Spirit brought it. No one can say Jesus is Christ except by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the work of God, the work of Christ to your heart. It's the Holy Spirit that opens our heart to receive it. It is the Holy Spirit who came, who opens the hearts of believers to confess Christ as their Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And then it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit opens our heart to receive the gift of salvation. So there's a beautiful unity in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A beautiful unity. And yet each person of the divine Trinity has his unique function. The Father is the Creator. The Son is the Redeemer. The Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three involved in all three aspects. Creation, redemption, sanctification. All God is involved in everything. And so we can say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One only God who lives and reigns forever. We're baptized in His name. We belong to Him. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one only true God. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Oh, Heavenly Father, it is a mystery. A mystery. How God, the eternal God, without beginning, without end, infinite, almighty, holy, God is love. Oh, Lord, help us to understand with greater clarity and with faith that this God is our God forever and ever, and You will be our guide to the very end. Lead us, Lord, by Your Spirit. Thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us. Help us to believe. Help us to have faith completely in You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.